from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Whatever, man. We're back, Kyle. You know, there are times where I really enjoy our setup. There are times where I really like the fact that you and I get to come in here and it's like, you know what? We do a rundown and then we sit here and we shoot the breeze before a show and then we come up with content and then we sit down here and we talk for a couple hours.
Yep.
I like that I have control over our podcasting stuff. I can take care of all that. Do I hit the wrong button sometimes? Do I forget to record a segment here and there? Absolutely. But it all gets uploaded. It's all fine. There are some times, though, when we get out 5 minutes early and then we're starting a segment when we should be breaking because there's not a producer going, hey, don't break, hey, don't break, don't break, don't break, stretch. There's nothing. There's none of that.
Okay.
So now we break 3 minutes early, 5 minutes early, whatever it freaking was, and it really just sticks in my craw, dude. I know you don't care. I know nobody listening cares. I know it's not going to affect the product outside of me being pissed off. Charlie might care. In fact, you know what? I know for a fact if I went, Charlie, I messed up, he's going to go, ah! So Charlie cares less than I do. It's just going to irk me. I'm off kilter. Now I'm off center.
I was looking at the clock and I'm thinking, I could sit here and talk about the second hour for at least 45 seconds and we could just drag this out a little bit. And it's like, oh.
No, that's what I want you to start doing. Here, we're going to do this. This is normally something we'd say for after the show, but I'm just going to do it now because I've already told everybody I'm pissed off.
All right.
We've already peeled the curtain back far enough. When that happens, when you hear me breaking 5 minutes early, be like, hey, not yet. Just do it. Just on air. Are you sure? And maybe I'll go, yeah, there's a thing I'm doing.
Okay.
But I might go, oh, it's 55, not 58. Whoops. Thanks. don't ever be afraid. When I'm going to blow through a break, be like, hey, do you want a break? Like, hey, do you want to go? I'm going to rely on you to be the second set of eyes.
I need the set of flags. I could have just like thrown a flag at you. Like,
good
luck.
No, because then I'm going to go, what? Did I say something pauseworthy? That would be my reaction to the flag.
Well, then you'd be like, oh, wait. And then I would just take over. Well, instead of going to a break, we're going to eat like 2 minutes of time here,
no, except
Kyle.
Here's the problem. No, the problem, the problem with this is I would just blow through that flag going, I got to get us to break. And then I'll ask about the flag at the break.
There you go. That's funny.
Goodness me.
It's funny because Kyle is a radio guy. I have never, I've been on the radio for a long time, but I'm not a radio guy. There's a difference between someone who does like hits on the radio and somebody who is part of a radio show. So I'm still learning all this stuff, but Kyle has been a very, very good teacher along the way.
It's hard to, it's hard sometimes to, explain certain things without them just happening. it would be really hard for me to explain, like, hey, if you notice me going to break early, just because going to break early, like, what's early to you? So it's like, it's just hard for me to articulate without it happening.
Oh, no, totally.
Where I go, hey, when that happens, just be like, dude, no.
Yeah.
We're not breaking.
Yeah. There's always that thing that's Kyle knows something I don't.
No. Maybe not, but definitely err on the side of, hey, we shouldn't be breaking.
Okay.
And like I said, if I'm like, no, I'm doing a thing, hang on, then that's fine.
All right.
I need you to keep me a little bit on track.
I'm in.
Good God. I'm not going to get into why breaking on time matters, but it does. Golden Sky, what?
No, we had this issue in like the first week where I went to break way early.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew no better, and we were out of the discussion, and I didn't know where to go.
Oh,
and
time to go.
Hey, let's go to break.
Right, and I was like, nope.
We'll discuss this later. And you're like, wait, no, that's not what we're doing.
When I was at 95.7 The Game, our sister station out in Sacramento, or in San Francisco, Matt Steinmetz covered the Warriors for a long time for the Bay Area News Group, was the Warriors sideline reporter for NBC, and now hosts Middays with Guru, Stein and Guru. And, dude, every once in a while, he would be ready for the weekend, and he would legit be like, they'd be talking about something. He'd go, Joe Spadoni was the board op. He'd go, hey, how much time we got, Spadone? And Spadone would be like, 14 minutes. Like, we got a whole segment. Like, what are we? Thankfully, I didn't break that early.
Sweet.
Right. Peeling the curtain back. Golden Sky 2024 is going to be three big rowdy days of country music and all the festival fixins you can handle under the sun and stars. Get your crew lined up because ESPN 1320 has your chance to win weekend passes. Just visit ESPN1320.com and fill out the online entry form for a chance to win two weekend passes and qualify to upgrade to two VIP weekend passes. Last housekeeping note, real quick, we are taking you up to 2 o'clock, and then right here on ESPN 1320, we're going to have some red hot Cotton Bowl action. That is number 9 Mizzou against number 7 Ohio State, SEC versus Big Ten in the Cotton Bowl. That's going to be a really fun game. I'm going to be locked in. You should be too. 4:30 p.m. right here on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, let's do it. Cotton Bowl.
I know you're fired up. Mad props. So if you're unfamiliar with the bit, I pick a 49er stat and then a King stat, and I put those up against each other. And James and I pick which stat is going to be higher. So our first one this week is Brock Purdy passing yards against the Commanders or Kings Hawks total points.
Oh, man.
I think the Kings and Hawks are going to score a ton of points tonight.
My guess, you want to hear my guess?
I would love to hear your guess.
275.
Okay, so I had 270 in my head when I did this stat. Because I'm guessing, I don't know Brock Purdy's over under passing yards, but if it was like 268.5-ish, I think that's probably about right.
I'm going Brock Purdy.
You're going with Brock. Yeah, here's my hang up. I want to lean Kings-Hawks because I think the 49ers are going to get a lead in this game and then kind of just try and sit on it a little bit. But Purdy is coming off such a bad game that I think Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy are both going to try and just get him back on the map a little bit, where maybe they're up 20-3 late third quarter. Hey, they're throwing it. They're airing it out.
Yeah.
Just trying to kind of get him back rolling, distance him from his 4 interception game, give him some good tape to look at. That's kind of what I think they might try and do. That said, I'm also going to go Purdy passing yards. Because even if the Kings and Hawks score a ton of points and they get to 275, like Brock needs 276 against a not good Washington defense. Maybe Washington starts to run it up a little bit and they're scoring and the Niners then have to air it out more than they wanted to. You get a couple of short throws that go for big plays. I think I'm going to go Brock as well. Brock Purdy completions. Number of completions for Brock Purdy or Malik Monk points and assists. Points plus assists. Malik not on the injury report, which indicates his foot should be good to go. Does Malik Monk have a bounce back game?
I'm going to go, this seems counter. I'm going to go Malik Monk.
Okay.
I think he is going to have a bounce back game, and I think that the Atlanta Hawks are so bad defensively that there's going to be a ton of like room here for him to go a little crazy. And the matchup against like Bogdan Bogdanovich off the bench, like those guys both can score, but neither one of them are lockdowns.
Right.
And I think he can torch Bogey.
Yeah, I think you might get like 18 or 19 points, then 5 or 6 assists from Monk. I think Brock Purdy can get to his passing yards where he would need to be to go more than that Kings Hawks total. I think he can get there on like 20 completions. Like then the 49ers ability to generate explosive plays in the passing game is unmatched. So I am going to go with Malik Monk points and assists, but I think it's going to be a close one. Brandon Ayuk yards or Kings first half points. So Kings points in the first half. Brandon Ayuk yards.
I'm going to go Ayuk.
Yeah, me too.
Boy, we're all the same.
I know. I know that. I think Ayuk's going to have a big game. He had 6 catches for what, 106 or something like that against the Ravens. I think he has another huge game this week.
Okay, I think I'm going to switch this up because I think you're right. Like the potential is there for him to have a big game, right? But I also think the Kings can score 65, 70 points against the Hawks defense.
Okay. Right?
So I also believe that the 49ers know where Deebo Samuel is with his passing yards.
Receiving yards.
And I think that they're going to search him out a little bit and try to get him a big number so he has a shot at 1,000.
Okay.
So they can have the 3,000-yard receivers and 1,000-yard back.
So we talked about this before the show. To bring everybody in, if you're not familiar, George Kittle, 9 yards shy of 1,000 receiving yards.
Crazy.
Which is, yeah, if you asked me how many receiving yards did George Kittle have, I would have said like 700. 991 is
same last year.
Wild.
Same last year.
Oh, 100%. What do you have, 965 last year?
Yeah, something crazy. I would have thought 650.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
And then Deebo Samuel, I believe, is 176 yards short. So yeah, maybe they do that. Maybe they try and get Deebo 120 today, and that way next week he doesn't need a huge game to get to that 1,000-yard mark. Yeah, maybe. I'm gonna go Ayuk yards though. Again, when I have questions on this, I go for ceiling.
Okay.
And his ceiling is, you know, 100 plus. As good as the Kings offense can be, I don't think they're gonna score 100 plus in a first half. Although if there was a team they were gonna do it against.
Yeah, there it is.
Christian McCaffrey touches or De'Aaron Fox field goal attempts?
Man, I'm gonna.
I have my answer written down already. I'll go first.
Go for it.
I have De'Aaron Fox field goal attempts. I think he's going to cook whoever they throw on him. And I think other Kings are going to get involved, but I think this is going to be one of those games where De'Aaron gets his and everybody else kind of gets theirs. Where I don't think he's like, you know what, I need to take a back seat to get some guys going. I'm going to have 16 shots tonight.
Okay.
I think De'Aaron's going to go 23, 24 field goal attempts, and then McCaffrey falls in the 19, 20, 21 touch range.
Okay, I'm going to go with the same. I think that Fox will try to, like, go for 40 plus, and I think that there's a good chance the Niners thump, like that they have a big blowout win, and you're gonna reserve McCaffrey a little bit.
Yeah, they already rested him in practice yesterday. I think trying to scale down his workload.
18, 19, 20 carries at the most, and I think Fox is probably gonna be 22, 23, 24, and like he might. Like, he likes to go up against Trey. He might try to go for 50 tonight.
It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
49ers sacks or Keon Ellis made field goals?
Niners sacks.
I kind of wanted to go Keon because there's that opportunity where the Kings maybe roll a little bit tonight. And against a not very good defense where Keon Ellis maybe gets some extended minutes and some extended looks. For the sake of the bit, I'll go Keon.
Okay.
two or three sacks for the Niners, four or five made field goals for Keon. 49ers points or Trey Young points? Because my question for Sunday, we talked about earlier how I'm a little bit concerned about the 49ers. I think it's going to be closer than we expect. It's not necessarily that they're not going to be able to score. I don't think Brock Purdy's going to go turn it over a bunch of times again. I just wonder if their defense, you get into the missed tackle stuff. It's Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel. Like, that's a good group. Brian Robinson, their running back, it sounds like he's going to be back. If Jacoby Brissett plays, he's better than Sam Howell.
I'm going... Oh, man. I'm going 49ers.
I'm gonna go Trey. I think the Niners score 31. I think Trey Young goes for 34 or 35.
Okay. I was thinking Niners score 36, and that's where I'm at.
Okay.
36 and Trey Young 28-30. He doesn't, like, he's had some games, but there's also a lot of times where he's not great against the Kings.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk more about Trey Young. We'll have keys to a Kings victory coming up here in a little bit. And we'll talk about Trey Young. In fact, you know what? I want to have a, just skipping the keys aspect of this, I want to have a Trey Young discussion with you next, because I don't know if there's a player that I waffle on more in basketball.
Mm.
And let's talk about that next on ESPN 1320. Am I breaking at the right time? I'm not. I'm still. That's way too, I'm like 2 minutes early again. Holy smokes,
I thought you're only,
dude,
a minute break. Are you testing me, Kyle?
No, because look, here's the problem. Oh my God, dude. So I'm not going to get into the weeds here. Typically, breaking at about this time is right.
Yeah. Usually at 13, we break.
Right, between 12 and 13 is usually the move.
Okay.
But that's at 10, 12, and then 11, 12. It's a different time slot now. And I think that's what's throwing me off. The break lengths are just different, so the times are different.
Okay.
That's on me.
It's okay. But you know what, Kyle?
I caught it this time, at least.
It's okay, Kyle.
Good Lord, man.
Because you know what? Tomorrow here on ESPN 1320, we have number 11 Ole Miss versus number 10 Penn State. We have the Peach Bowl starting at 8:30 a.m. here on ESPN 1320. Later on in the day, we have the Detroit Lions at Dallas Cowboys, 4:45 start. That's your Saturday here on ESPN 1320. We come back on Sunday morning, Kyle, 9:30 a.m. We have the Raiders at Colts. Huge playoff implications here.
My man.
4:30 p.m. We have Packers at Vikings. It's a rivalry matchup between two very sub teams, but it should be a lot of fun here on ESPN 1320.
My man.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
What the Kings should do is package their bad players and try and trade them to another team for that team's good players.
I think a bad player for good player trade is exactly what the Sacramento Kings need.
Yeah, I would 100%. Like, just call up the Raptors and be like, hey, JaVale for OG Anunoby straight across. Who says no, you know?
I think that there are ways in which to do that, right? There, especially historically, there have been ways in that you can package up just something that doesn't make any sense and get something back that does.
Kwame Brown for Pau Gasol.
Yeah. Or I was thinking more like Justin Jackson and the expiring contract of Zach Randolph, who hadn't played for Harrison Barnes.
Sure.
Right? And those trades, actually, they're out there and they do work, right? But you have to, like, mine for those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is probably a contract out there where someone might have a player option for next year and a team is ready to move on and they don't want that player to pick up that player option, but that player understands that they're not going to be able to get that type of money somewhere else or something like that, where you might be able to swing for the fence. But the problem is the Kings don't have expiring contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the past years, yeah, they've got expiring contracts, you know, like they sat on like Kenny Thomas's expiring contract forever and then couldn't use it at the deadline. But when you're looking at the current Kings team, even Davion Mitchell and Chris Duarte, the Kings picked up their options for next year. They're on 2-year deals. Trey Lyles, 2-year deal. Like the Kings would never consider what Malik Monk is right now as an expiring contract.
Right.
But then you have, after that, you have a bunch of minimum guys. So they're the value of a guy like Alex Len or a guy like JaVale McGee, mm-hmm. right? They look like $3 or $4 million contracts, but because they're league minimum veteran for years of veteran play, they're only worth like $2.1 million. So like, sure, if you stack up four of those contracts, so if you throw JaVale and Alex Len and Colby Jones and Kessler Edwards in a trade, that's $8 million. You could get up to a $10 million player, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Who is taking that? Like, those aren't the expiring contracts teams are looking for.
Right.
So the Kings don't have that type of deal this year.
Have $8 million in space next season.
No, what the Kings have, though, is, like, Harrison Barnes has 2 more years. Kevin Huerter has 2 more years after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a lot of players who are under contract next year. They don't have these expiring deals. So I don't even know if the in theory, Harrison Barnes trade that they were able to do that 1 year is even, if the Kings can even play in that water, because they don't really have the contracts to do it.
Hmm.
Now, they have players that are good that might fit better somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or a contract that's solid that works as trade filler. But that's whatever they do is going to involve draft picks most likely.
Yeah. The one that comes up a lot for me is I've wondered about Kevin Huerter. What's his value, especially now that he's not shooting it particularly well the last 10, 12, 15 games, whatever it is. What's going to be his trade value? But you said it earlier. Every team is looking for a 6'7 guy who's a 38%+ three-point shooter.
Who plays defense.
Right. Plays defense. He'll go grab you a rebound.
Yeah.
Like, every team is looking for that guy. So maybe it's not a perfect fit for the Kings anymore, or maybe they think they can upgrade. But while I was sitting here going, man, is he playing out of his trade? It's not going to matter what he's shooting at the deadline.
No.
His longer track record, a team is going to be like, yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Covington just keeps getting the contracts.
It is nuts that Rocco is just around.
he's never going away. Why would he?
I think he's on the roster of the Blazers, the Clippers, and the 76ers.
Yeah.
Like, I swear, he's just on all those teams.
Yeah, it's like a three-team rotation. He just plays one night one place and one night another.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what the Kings need. They need a guy who's a bully, who can get physical with somebody. Like, I'm not sure that's the guy at this age, but,
you know, look, I know you're out. I wouldn't mind P.J. Tucker.
No, I haven't said I'm out on P.J. Tucker.
Oh, I thought we had a discussion where you're like, yeah, no, P.J. Tucker, no.
No, I don't think the Clippers will trade him, although maybe they will.
Doesn't he want out? Isn't he like super disgruntled?
No, he wants out, but that's fine and all. But at the end of the day, when you get to the end of the season and you start talking about playoffs, and like, if you have a PJ Tucker hiding on your bench, I'm not sure how effective he is at this point anyways, but yeah, I don't know.
The 49ers injury report is out.
Uh-oh.
Eric Armstead out. Juwan Jennings out. He's still dealing with a concussion. This second week in a row, Jennings been out with a concussion.
That's not good.
Jair Brown out with a knee injury. Jalen Moore, Trent Williams' backup, also out with a concussion. Ross Dwelly out with an ankle injury. Trent Williams, no injury designation for him with the groin injury. So he is good to go. And that's the big ones on the Niners injury report for week 17. The Trent Williams one's big.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the difference between like winning and losing against a good team.
And I'm wondering if I haven't seen anything on Aaron Banks, who injured his toe. He's questionable, maybe. I haven't seen exactly yet. Yeah. Don't got
those,
it.
Those right. Doggone toe injuries.
Dude, you ever heard of toe? You have a sprained toe and you got to go play offensive line where you got to like move an anchor and stuff. Oof, that's kind of hurt.
It's a little rough.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to deal with it. Trae Young, real quick.
Yeah.
I don't want to act like I think Trae Young is a bad player. He is obviously a very good player. He is a terrific playmaker. I think his season high is like 17 assists. And in that game where he had 17 assists, he also had 40 points. Oh, he is unbelievable as a scorer and as a playmaker. And we may very well see that tonight. I don't believe that any team with Trae Young as their 1A is ever going to win a championship.
Oh, I agree 100%.
I don't believe in it. But I don't think Atlanta is ever going to, A, come to grips with that fact, and B, I don't know that they'll be able to get a player who's better in there where Trae can take a back seat. Like, he's just so ball dominant. He just does everything for them.
It's like a blessing and a curse, right?
Right.
So, like,
Trae Young.
Yeah, Trae Young. In his career, his rookie season, his season high was 49. His second season, 50. Third season, 43. Fourth season, 56, 44, 45. This dude is a bucket. He really is. And his assist numbers are absolutely crazy. You're right. I think the game you're talking about, he had 44 and 20 last year. Or this year, 45 and 17.
Good Lord,
it
man.
Might not be the same game. I'd have to look. But like, those are his season highs for this season. But I think it speaks to a larger... So in the game, he had 17 assists. He had 15 points. But they lost to the Knicks. And I think if we look throughout his career, that's going to be the case a lot of the time. When he does big things, they lose. And
we have a note coming up on this a little bit later, by the way.
Okay.
45 and 14 this year against the Spurs.
Wow.
In a two-point win.
A lot of times, though, that's what it is. Like, even the close wins, like, when he goes crazy, they're super... I don't know. So, I don't want to say he's not a quote-unquote winner, but I also think he's a guy that puts up stats that a lot of times don't matter.
Good stats, bad team guy?
Yeah, maybe.
They are 5-9 when he scores 30 or more this year.
Wow.
Now, granted, they're not great, like, otherwise. But it's not like, oh, hey, when Trae Young goes off, they're a dangerous team. Like, no, they're just not very good.
You know,
and that, to me, is like that's a problem.
A guy's averaging 28.1 points and 11.3 assists per game. We shouldn't have a question about whether he's a 1A.
And he's not doing that for the Pistons.
No.
Like, he's doing that on a team with DeJounte Murray, with Sadiq Bey, with... DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
Like
Capella.
There's a good group of players there. It's
just
very strange.
How many years, though, do you have a good group of players and they don't go anywhere? And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Although the 1 year, and that's always the problem, the 1 year, they did go somewhere.
The conference final.
And so you think, well, it happened that 1 year, so I think maybe we can do it.
Yeah.
But you're 12 and 18 with a roster filled with players that should be...
12 and 18 coming off of two first round playoff exits since your trip to the conference finals. Tough spot to be in. We have a caller on the line. They've been very patient. ESPN 1320, what's your name?
Hey, I'm Kyle. What's going on? It's TC.
Hey, TC, we can't hear you, bro. I'm going to put you back on hold. And it sounds like there's drums or something going on in the background. Couldn't hear him. We weren't going to sort that out because we only have a couple minutes left in the segment. So we'll get to TC in the next segment. And hopefully he has his sound cleaned up. Yeah, man. I just, like I said, I like watching Trae Young play. I think he is an awesome player. I just think there is such a ceiling on a team that he is the leader of.
Yeah. I agree. I wish I had
like an empirical data to put my put my finger on is like, hey, this is the problem.
Yes.
But I don't. It's just I'm just kind of out on Trae Young and the Hawks.
Okay.
Kings got to go beat them tonight.
They need to blow that thing up and like.
But
scatter.
That's the thing is, blow that thing up. To what if they were just consistently like second round exit, first round, second round exit. Oh, they made the conference finals. Okay, out in the first round this year, but second. Nah, man, they went conference finals, first round, sub .500 this year.
Yeah.
And okay, you're blowing it up for what? Are you trading Trey? No.
No.
Like, that's your guy. But what are you surrounding him with? Like, I would love to know what kind of players he needs to be surrounded with to be more effective.
Well, and the problem is you've tried a lot of different things. You gave him DeJounte Murray, you gave him Bogdan Bogdanovic, two totally different. You had Kevin Huerter there, mm-hmm. so just a 3-point shooter. You've had the multifaceted guys alongside him. Mm-hmm. None of it works. At what point do you go, I don't know what works? And so you know what they haven't tried? Like, exactly what the Philadelphia 76ers did. They haven't tried like an Eric Snow guy next to him.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe that's it. Just a defensive minded guy who does all the dirty work and doesn't mind taking on the tough cover and all that stuff. They haven't tried that.
I don't know. It feels like they got a long road. All right. Kings Hawks tonight. We'll give you our keys next, and we'll look ahead to next year with some New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do the radio bit where we do like, hey, New Year's resolutions for the Kings, but then I want to do personal ones as well. I want to hear from you in the chatty house. I want to hear from you on the phone. 916-909-1320 is the number. We'll be back in 2 minutes on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, interesting game for the Kings tonight. The Hawks are a team that any good team should probably beat. But on any given night, Atlanta could go hang up 145 points.
Oh yeah, they're dangerous. They're super dangerous. They've got talent.
I don't think they're good.
No, I don't think they're good either, but you know, this is a team that has seven guys averaging double figure scoring. And Jalen Johnson's out, but outside of that, like, most of those guys are actually playing and playing reasonably large amounts of minutes. So they're just a team. We talk about this all the time that the collection of players are not as good as what they should be. Some of the pieces are greater than the whole.
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
No, but it's
the reverse
reversed.
Of that.
Yes, the reverse.
Got
of it.
The sum of the parts are greater than the whole.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So they just don't work together for some reason. And I mean, that makes sense, but there's plenty of guys on that roster that would fit on the Sacramento Kings roster.
Yeah. And that's right. That's what makes them dangerous is you look at their roster and you go, man, this is not a 12-18 team.
No.
There are way too many dudes who can play and it doesn't translate. And they even hired Quinn Snyder. They got a real, legitimate NBA coach in there.
Legit NBA coach.
And just can't figured
Quinn Snyder is a leader of men. That's what Quinn Snyder is. Like there are some coaches in the NBA that are great X and O's guys. He is a leader of men. People buy into Quinn Snyder like crazy. So I've always dug Quinn Snyder. He's different. And they have to like their media staff has to like make sure that he's eating and like the coaching staff and stuff. Like he's so intense. He like forgets to
He's got crazy eyes
to do the basics.
They're kind of that like
for
sure. He looks like a character out of Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Okay.
Or Batman villain, I think is the popular one. All right, TC, we're gonna try this again, bro.
No,
I need you to sound good. No speakerphone, no drumming in the background. TC, what's good, bro?
What's going on? Y'all got me better?
That's so much better. What's going on, dude?
Oh, man, just chilling. What's up, Hammer?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm just chilling, man. Just trying to get ready for the weekend and just kick back. Hey, I got a, in my opinion, I got a few things that I think would be the right move, and I think that Monty's always doing a move that nobody's speaking about. And I know, to me, I don't care about the OG, Pascal, Kevin Durant. I think two solid moves that's doable that we really could get is the DeJounte Murray trade, right? That's a trade that nobody's talking about, that he came available. That's a move that Monty would make when everybody's thinking that he's going to go get OG or he's going to get Kevin Durant. No, we'd get DeJounte Murray and I think a swap for – I swap like Kevin Herter or something for like a Thibault. I think those would be two solid moves.
Okay, very good. Thanks. I actually – like, yeah, if they can make that happen – where you're adding Matisse Thybulle to the rotation and you're adding DeJounte Murray to your starting lineup, great.
No, I don't
just,
disagree.
It's just what does it take to get that?
Well,
does Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, and picks add up to both those guys?
Yeah, and I think the problem too is that like Matisse Thybulle, like defensively is great, right? But like where does he fit? Because if you still have the same four forwards that you have right now, I don't know that Matisse Thybulle is good enough to get past those four and into the rotation. Like, is he going to beat out Trey Lyles for minutes? Is he going to beat out Harrison Barnes for minutes? Is he going to beat out Keegan Murray? And like, maybe Sasha, but again, you...
But Barnes would be gone in this situation.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, I don't think... Like, Matisse Thybulle is your starter if you have another, like, really, really good starter at the two. Like, that makes some sense. Especially, Thybulle's been really good from three. I believe.
The last 2 years, he's shooting 37.2%. Problem is it's 2.6 shots a game.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah, and you need to,
But I think he's better. Like, if you look at his box scores, you're not going to necessarily gain his, like, the gravity of his impact. And like I said, if you're adding him with DeJounte Murray, to me, he's a, like, rotation guy now.
Okay.
And you can kind of mix and match his minutes and, hey, in a playoff series, Jamal Murray is really cooking. Yeah, get Matisse Thybulle, see if you can slow him down. Or, you know, pick a guard. He has the length to deal with SGA.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that they're... That's why we have these discussions, but there's... The Kings definitely need someone like that. And, like, we can keep sifting through... Like, how do you find that guy? And I know, like, look, they were in on Thybulle last year. No question. They were. But you have to find a way to find, like, that style of player to go with this group.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think if you can get a... And again, this is all theoretical. Who's available? What's it going to cost in a deal? If you can get a second ball handler, good defender, good scorer, 20-point-a-game guy, like DeJounte Murray... And then a excellent defender like Matisse Thybulle, great.
Yeah.
Like it, whether it's those two people specifically or not, but I like the idea.
No, I think so too. And that's why I keep saying like the versatility of the Kings roster allows you to attack different positions. You don't just have to be looking for a small forward or a power forward or a shooting guard because Keegan can play like two of those positions. So you can either get a power forward or you can get a small forward or you can get a shooting. Like there are ways to work around this.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's do Kings to victory for the keys to victory for the Kings tonight at Atlanta. And then I want to do some year end stuff with you. We'll have a little bit of fun. So let's get to keys to a Kings victory over the Atlanta Hawks. James Hamm of the King's Beat. Subscribe to the King's Beat today, kingsbeat.com. What is your first key?
Number one, Herter and Barnes have to step up. Like, it's time. Like, enough with whatever. Like, it's time. You have to step up, or Mike Brown needs to make a tough decision here.
Yeah.
Like, there's a business decision that's waiting here, and we're getting to that point, especially with the way, like, Herter has struggled for the last, I don't know, 10 games. It's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Can't keep going.
Yep. I'm right there with you. My first one is you got to make Trae Young pass it.
Okay.
Because when he goes for 40 plus, they're 3-0. Now, we said earlier, they're 5-9 when he goes for 30 plus.
Okay.
But if he goes for 40 plus or 3-0, when he has 10 or more assists, they're 8-12. So when Trae gets going and then he's also getting everybody else involved, that's when he becomes that really effective player where you're like, man, like, Trae is really, really good. So I think if you're picking one, I think you want to throw as many different looks as you can at him defensively.
Okay.
Where it's De'Aaron Fox on him this possession, then maybe you trap him on this possession, and you give him some Keegan Murray, maybe you give him some Harrison Barnes, just give him different looks and never let him really get comfortable in the game where he is playmaking and scoring.
Yeah, I like the Keon Ellis matchup there.
Keon Ellis.
That's going to be a guy that I think can chase him all night long. So you said they're 5-9 when he scores over 30, but they're 3-0 when he goes for 40.
Yeah, so 2-9 when he goes for 30 or 39. 32-39.
Yeah, 30-39. They're 2-9 on the season. That's really bizarre.
Yeah.
That's a really strange stat. Yeah. Okay. Are we ready for my second key?
Second key. I didn't have your ding. Hang on. There you go.
Monk needs to look like Monk. Like, we've gone through a stretch of games here where Malik hasn't looked like himself, and I believe personally it's because of the foot injury. And if you remember, right before the foot injury, he had an illness. So I'm gonna say that we're at a point where he hopefully can be past that. They've had a couple of days off here. Mm-hmm. Hopefully his foot's feeling better. But if he steps up and looks like the Malik Monk that we know that he is, then they should be able to. He should have a big game here.
My second key is you have to do something different offensively that doesn't allow Clint Capella to just hang out sagging off of Domantas Sabonis. That is where he is going to affect shots at the rim. Cuts aren't going to be there. Driving lanes aren't going to be there. Whether it's pick and roll, whether it's moving where the dribble handoff is, you just cannot let Clint Capella camp out under the rim. That's how he's going to stay on the floor. I think if you put him in the pick and roll a ton, he's not like a terrible pick and roll defender or anything, but I think you have to mix things up where, hey, maybe you're playing him off the floor, but you're certainly not allowing him to just be shot blocker standing underneath the basket.
Yeah, you need to get him moving.
Yes.
You need to catch him in motion as opposed to just having him be a guy like standing. That makes a lot of sense, Kyle.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah,
good key, Kyle.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate it. Number three.
Don't play down to the level of your opponent. This is a bad defensive team and a good offensive team. They don't get into a track meet. Don't play down to the level of your opponent. This is a 12-18 team. Just play it.
This is 100% the kind of game that multiple times this year I've gone in. Houston, Portland, certainly. Washington. Now, they beat Washington, but stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
Where I've gone, they're going to crush this team. And then you look and it's close in the second quarter.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like, come on. Or they're losing in the second quarter. So this is a game that I would like to see them, yeah, go out and just beat the heck out of a team. Like, just, I don't even care if they give up 130 points. Giving up 130 points to the Hawks is not the same as giving up 130 points to the Wizards or the Blazers.
Yeah.
If you give up 130, fine. Go score 150.
No, I'm totally with you. And, you know, right now the Kings, last year there were 25 and, was it 16 on the road?
Mm-hmm.
Right now they're 6-7.
Mm.
That's they've improved at home. They're 11-5 at home.
Got a little worse on the road.
But that road record's not okay.
Brutal. My final key, do some scouting. We've talked about Sadiq Bey, DeJounte Murray, Clint Capella. Hawks have a lot of dudes who I think could make the Kings even a little bit better. So that's my other key. It's not necessarily a key to victory, but
No, I like that.
Watch close.
Yeah, I like that. Even, you know, like, this might sound crazy, but, like, Bogdan Bogdanovic is a ball player. Like,
sure is.
He's 31, and he's had knee problems, but that doesn't mean, like, you know who he is. You know he's a good person. You know he's a good...
Bogey back?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like is his versatility as a player, he's a better rebounder. He's a really good passer.
High IQ guy, yeah.
High IQ guy and really good catch and shoot guy. Like, he never got the opportunity to play with Sabonis. I'm just saying, like, this Hawks team has a handful of players like, all right, you go ahead.
Oh,
like,
I have a fun one.
Uh-oh.
If you flipped De'Aaron Fox and Trae Young, which team is, do both teams get better? Do both teams get worse? Does one get demonstrably better than the other?
Oh, the Hawks get way better.
Why?
Because Fox is just a better player. He's more consistent. He plays defense.
I think the defense part is probably the big change.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with Trae. It doesn't matter how much Trae scores, it's how much he gives up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he's going to try to defend De'Aaron Fox. He's not even going to try.
No chance. He's going to go stand in the corner with Harrison Barnes or something.
Well, yeah, but the Kings have been working on this exact moment. How do you hunt a player?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be hunting Trae Young.
Oh, 1,000%.
All night long.
That's the other aspect of the pick and roll stuff, is you can just go get Trae Young on Fox one-on-one and let him cook.
Yeah.
I think the defense aspect of it is different. I do think Fox is a way better player. I'm not, like, full stop, period.
Mm-hmm.
But Trae is such a good passer and playmaker that it makes me wonder what the rest of the... Maybe it's better for the rest of the team if they have a player like De'Aaron Fox who is just, like you said, he's just better. Maybe statistically, with his assist numbers and stuff aren't going to be as high. He's going to average a few fewer assists. But maybe it's just overall better for Atlanta to have a guy like that to get behind.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wouldn't ever even consider.
No, any, I'm not. Yeah. No, this is not to say... I'm just wondering... How would Atlanta look with a better point guard?
Yeah.
I think is it because we keep talking about it with, I'm working through this thought out loud. We keep talking about how, hey, Atlanta has all these really good players who would make the Kings better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we named five with Bogdan, Capella, AJ Griffin, DeJounte Murray.
Sadiq Bey.
That's five dudes. That's five players on this team that are like, man, those guys can really hoop. DeAndre Hunter can play.
Yeah.
Like, hey, there's some guys on this team that can really play. And then for some reason, their point guard who averages, what is he at, 28 and 11?
Yeah.
I mean, their point guard who's doing that, and they're 12 and 18.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Like, how much does De'Aaron Fox change? Maybe it's just the guys around him, and they're two wins better because it turns out the Hawks players aren't as good as we think.
Well, I mean, you have a double-double center who's averaging 1.7 blocks per game.
Mm-hmm.
You got a 20-point-per-game guy at the shooting two. Guard. But he's also
averaging bad?
5 and 4.5.
I can't wait to watch them because, frankly, totally just transparent.
Yeah.
I'm not locked into 48 minutes of Hawks basketball 82 nights a year. Sorry, guys.
But hey, you like Bogdan Bogdanovic, our friend Bogey.
I'm fascinated to watch him tonight.
He's averaging 17.9 a game off the bench. Like, 17.9 a game.
Is it literally just have a bunch of dudes who don't play defense?
I think that's pretty much
it. Is that just it?
Like, I don't know.
But, like, Sadiq Bey, not a bad defender. DeJounte Murray, good defender. Clint Capella, good shot blocker.
Yeah, like, solid defender. Not great on the perimeter, but... No. This is a team, they hoist a ton of threes. They actually hit more threes than the Kings do, percentage-wise, not in number-wise, but 37.2% from three. This team really, really gets up a lot of shots, but I don't know,
I think the Kings, you said this in your keys, don't get into a track meet. I think this is one of the very few times, if I'm Sacramento, that I'm fine with dropping that pace.
Yeah.
Where... Hey, you know what? We're going to execute our offense, whatever it is. We're going to execute, and you're not going to play any defense. And then we are not going to let you get 103 shots up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just don't let it turn into that. Because that's where, when you go, man, the Hawks are dangerous, that's how.
Yeah.
when every single one of those guys starts getting good looks. So, fourth key.
Interesting.
Actually, I guess it was technically your key. Anyways. Strange road trip.
Yep.
Portland, Atlanta, Memphis. There was another one in there, though, that you mentioned later in the year.
Oh, yeah.
They go like, it's like Dallas, Memphis,
it's
Miami.
It's all over the place.
New York.
Yeah, let me see. They have a 7-game road trip later it's usually in January. They start in Golden State, then they go to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Dallas. Then they go at Memphis, at Miami Heat, at Indiana Pacers, at Chicago Bulls, at Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, it's a weird like Midwest, one on the East Coast, then back to the Midwest.
Yeah, even like they have another one in February. They go at OKC, then they fly back to Phoenix, then they fly over to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Like even that is like you overshoot, you come back too far, you go back, and then like I don't understand what's happening here.
What about this? At Clippers, home Miami, at Denver, at Minnesota, home Chicago, at LA. Lakers.
Oh, that's wild.
It was weird. Weird
schedule. How about this? At Toronto, at Washington, at Orlando.
Just down that East Coast?
Yeah, but that's wild.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't just
go from Washington all the way to Orlando. That's crazy.
Like this one. Here you go. Knicks, Boston, Brooklyn, OKC. That's late. That's fine. That's East Coast. You're in New York. You're in Boston. You're in New York again. That's all right there. You may not even change hotels.
Yeah.
In that stretch. And then OKC, that's on the flight back. That at least makes some sense to me.
Yeah, on the way home, you stop at OKC.
Little shooty hoops against OKC. That's going to be a fun game. I'm very interested to see what both teams look like by April 9th.
Yeah, me too.
We got a few minutes left.
Okay.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions this year?
For myself?
Or for next year, I guess.
For myself or for the Kings or what?
For yourself. For you personally.
Okay, yeah, personally, I mean, the only real New Year's resolution that I try to get into every year is like, I've got to take care of my back better and try to do better back health.
Okay.
To try to survive sitting in this chair for as long as we do. And so that's one big push I'm starting after the new year. I got to lose a little bit of weight and I got to get the back in shape, but that's sort of the same exact thing.
Everybody in the chatty house, if you have a New Year's resolution,
throw it on out there.
Toss it on us. We'll tell you if it's good or bad. For me, this year, my New Year's resolution was to consume more non-sports content.
Oh, okay.
And I did a much better job of it this year, where when I read before bed, I'm reading like whether it's history, whether it's something fiction-y, I'll read a non-sports thing.
Okay.
Before bed. I have a couple of podcasts I listen to that are not sports related. I've been trying to watch more like movies and TV shows where I'm just like more present, particularly at night. Like I'm just more present and not like, hey, I've got to be locked into Hornets Pacers because it's on.
Yeah. You know,
just trying to be more available in my life.
Okay. I think one thing like this last year I've done is I've taken a little bit of a step back, you know, my not fully, but like I have a 20-year-old and I have a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And like even Christmas morning, like we're not going to have a lot more Christmas mornings with just the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the dogs run around. Like that's not the way life works. Eventually, you know, someone's going to meet somebody and they're not going to be home for the holidays and you know, and or someone's going to go to college or away to college, and it's just, it won't be the same. So I like this year in particular is like, hey, the Kings were really good and I'm like full-time on the job like I always have been, but at the same time there are times where I need to switch off and not just be that all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Because for like 13-14 years here I've been 24/7. Like I can't stop from scrolling Twitter, I can't stop from, you know, making phone calls and checking in with people and all that stuff. And it's great, but like there is life that goes on.
Yeah. This year, my resolution is to take care of my body better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say diet. I'm not going to say lose X amount of weight, not do this or that. Just like be better about how I'm taking care of my body, moving more.
Yeah.
Diet, but not like, hey, this is going to be a strict diet that I'm just make it more of a thing instead of like a, hey, here's the thing I'm doing for 7 months. Okay, now I'm done.
Yeah.
Because that's how it's always been in the past. It's always been really up and down. So this year, because I'm 33 now, I turned 34 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just starting to realize that I'm at that age where like, hey, you know what? Stuff starts to hurt.
Oh,
like,
it hurts,
Kyle. So I want to make sure I'm stretching more. That's going to be a big one. In fact, you know what? If I'm specifying, stretching. I want to stretch more in 2024. Like that is my...
Yeah.
That's what it is. Backs, knees, hips, ankles.
Yeah. No, that's
the
good.
The whole shebang.
Okay. You should. Like yoga, if you can do yoga. I can't do yoga. My back's the way my issues with back.
You might start a little yoga.
Yeah, start some yoga. Do that.
New Year's resolution for the Kings. What's the one thing they have to do better in 2024?
Stop with the big wins and big losses. Like figure some stuff out. Big wins are fine. Big losses are bad. Like find out who you are, play to your strengths, find your identity. I think they've lost their identity a little bit. I knew who they were last year. I don't know who they are right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's you mentioned that yesterday and I was like, man, it's a great damn point. Figuring out the, here we go. Solidify in 2024, solidify whatever your big three is or big four moving beyond 2024. And that doesn't mean necessarily by, you know, the end of this season. That means, hey, you get all off season and you get through next December to figure this out. But I think by this time next year, we need to have a very, very clear vision of exactly what the Kings are and who they are going into the next 4 or 5 years. We know what Keegan Murray is, what Malik Monk is. Have they paired the right thing with Domantas Sabonis? That's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
Did we never put our insiders banner back up?
Oh, we didn't. Our banner.
That's my other New Year's resolution is to make sure that I'm putting the banner back up when I take it down. That's a good one. We got about a minute.
All right.
I want to say thank you to you, James, everybody in the chatty house, Aaron, our boss, Stacy, our boss. Nobody knows who those people are, but they're definitely not listening. But thank you to them. This is a really tough year for me personally. And this show, this station, you, D-Lo, Casey, Jesse, Charlie, really helped me get back, into this and doing what I love to do. This is my very favorite thing to do in the entire universe. And doing it with you has been a blast. So, thank you to James and thank you everybody who, helped make this show happen. And I cannot wait to get into 2024 and I really get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think this is a good start and you know, I've really, really enjoyed working with Kyle. We didn't know each other hardly at all.
Nope.
We met each other once at like at the casino.
Yeah. At Sky River, shout out.
At Sky River. Yeah, exactly. And like I think we're starting something cool and it's growing and I totally dig it. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for letting us be part of your world.
Yeah, man. It is, like I said, I wake up at 3:20 and I do some work stuff that I don't love to do because getting to do this for 2 hours outweighs all of that. That's because of you, James, and everybody out here in the chatty house and everybody listening. So thank you, everybody. We will talk to you next year, 10 a.m. Tuesday. We'll be back. D'Lo and Casey also back on Tuesday. See you in 2024.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.